Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The Abundant Life, a.k.a. the Zoe and Abundant series, a series on life with Jesus. John 10 and 10 is a very popular, familiar portion of Scripture. The King James Version says it like this: "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come," Jesus said, "that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Somebody say Zoe. This is how it says in the Amplified Version: "The thief cometh only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows." Somebody shout full. Somebody shout overflow. Amen. Thank you for that young person in the back that shouted it out. You put a lot of pressure on all these adults, all these old people up front. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm so glad you're here today, because if you're here today, Jesus is important to you. Most of us in here this morning are here because of our free will, unless you are under the age of 18 and somebody else is paying for the oxygen you breathe and the house you live and the food you eat. Most of us are here because we want to be here. You are not here because you want someone to see you, the pastor to see you. You are not here to check off a religious box. You are here because your relationship with Jesus is important. I want to remind you today that Jesus is alive and well. That Jesus died on a cross to give you eternal life. But Jesus' Holy Spirit is on this earth to give us abundant life, that Zoe life. And we've been talking about the biblical definition of life. We've been talking about recognizing, and we'll get back to that in just a moment, how the enemy works to keep us from Zoe. And then we'll get into what does abundant life really look like, because the Western world is kind of messed up abundant life, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. And then if we have a chance today, we'll get to what is the purpose of abundant life. Anytime you see the word life in the Bible, there's three Greek definitions: bios, psuche, and zoe. Bios is where we get our word biology. It is our physical life. It's the breath we breathe. It is our body. It is our senses, all of those things. And then the psuche is our soul life. It's our mind, our emotions, our free will. And those you didn't do anything to get except when you were born, those were your gifts that God gave you. Aren't you glad for your bios today, that you didn't have to wait, you didn't have to worry last night as you were sleeping whether you're going to take enough breaths to make it through the night? You just went to sleep and woke up, praise God. Aren't you glad that you had enough sense today in your psuche, in your psyche, in your soul mind to get up, put on your clothes, and come to church? You know, your family says you're crazy. You might be crazy, but you're well enough to come to church, praise God. You might be a little bipolar. Join the club. So was James. So was Thomas. So was Elijah. But you had enough sense to say, even with all of my problems, I'm going to go to the presence of God today. Because there's only one thing that can set me straight. There's only one thing that can get me on the right path, and that is Jesus. But there is nothing that we deserve or did to deserve Zoe. Zoe is the life that is eternal. It is the divine part of life, the divine life of God. It is the life that we see introduced in John 1:4. In Jesus was Zoe, life. And the Zoe life was the light of men. Zoe refers to an uncreated. Before the beginning, understand that phrase, before the beginning, Zoe was. Before there was a sun, a moon, and stars, Zoe was. The eternal life of God, the divine life, uniquely possessed by God. But God is not greedy with that Zoe. He shares it freely with whoever wants to step in. Your spiritual Zoe life is the most important dimension of your life. Most often your physical life, your bios, and your soul life, your psuche, it follows Zoe. Last session, we left off talking about the devil, for a lot of us, has given up on taking us to hell. And so what he does now is he brings hell to us. He brings hell to us to distract us, to dissuade us, to frustrate us, to make us quit. Satan does not want you to receive and step into Zoe in abundance, and so he fights you tooth and nail every moment. Remember, the devil does not have holidays. He does not have off time. He is a devil that works hard every day, all night long. While you are sleeping, he is planning, he is scheming, he is working. But I've got good news, church. God never slumbers. God never sleeps. And as I said last week, anything Satan can do, God can do bigger, God can do better. And God says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that God will raise the standard and a spirit against the adversary. Living void of Zoe, although it might as well be hell on earth. So the three ways that we left off last week, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal comes from the word clevo, to rob, to thieve, larceny, but it means to crib, which is to plagiarize. The enemy doesn't own anything. He just does his best to get you to throw it away, to give it away. The Bible says things like, cast not away your confidence, meaning this, the devil can't steal your confidence, but he can make hell so near to you that you throw away and you give away your confidence. The Bible says he comes to kill. Kill is the Greek word skatono. It means to slay, to execute. But where we left off last week was to neutralize. There are some of us that we are not working for the enemy, but we're not really working for God either. We're not going to hell, but man, we're not living like heaven either. We don't have the spirit of the Antichrist in us anymore, but we're sure still void of the Holy Spirit of God as well, and the enemy has neutralized us. We're not great, but we're not terrible. We're not backsliding, but we're not gaining ground either. He's neutralized us. To kill also means, ironically, to vote against. Remember, there's three votes to your life. Every time that you get up, God is voting for you. And I need to remind somebody today that has been lied to by the enemy or bad theology. God is not out to get you. God is not out to teach you a lesson. God does not give cancers. God does not send hurricanes. God does not teach lessons that way. That is a bad teacher. God teaches through information. Information is what we're talking about today that introduces you to Zoe. You can't teach Zoe by giving cancer. God votes for you. God is for your marriage. God is for your children. God is for your money. God is for your ministry. God is for your mind and mental state. God is for you. The devil's against you. The devil is not your friend. Even when you were out clubbing, the devil was still not your friend. The devil played you like a punk. Y'all thought y'all were buddies. And I know that TV and movie like to act like when everybody goes to hell, it's going to be some big rock concert down there and everybody's going to be having a good time. That is simply a lie that has been perpetuated to make people feel good about their lack of relationship and Zoe with God and feel comfortable straight on the highway to hell. Is that too much on a Sunday morning? So God votes for you, the enemy votes against you. There's only one vote left, and that's the majority vote, that's you. Your biggest enemy is not in Washington, church. Your biggest enemy is not an ex. Your biggest enemy is not an in-law. Your biggest enemy is not your arch rival from high school. No one really had an arch rival in high school. We are not DC or Marvel. None of us have nemesis. Our biggest enemy is the person that looks at us in the mirror every day. Whether we're going to vote with God or we're going to vote with the adversary. And some of us would say, I would never vote with the enemy. Yeah, but when you operate in fear, that's your vote. When you operate in doubt, that's your vote. When you get so crazy that you forget what God has promised and you go the way of the world, that's your vote. But to get to the third, to destroy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Destroy in the Greek comes from the word catastropho. It's where we get our word catastrophe. It means to ruin. It means to wreck. It means to exterminate. You know what exterminate means? See, when we exterminate, we call pest control because we don't want the roaches dazed. We don't want the scorpions confused. We want them taken out. Like, I'm paying you to kill every six-legged and eight-legged insect or arachnid at my house. The enemy is not playing with you. He is not paintballing with you. This is not laser tag. This is real life. Realize this. When you got up this morning, God has a target on your life to bless you and a target of anointing and purpose, but the enemy has a target on your life to kill from you, to steal from you, and to exterminate you. He knows if I can take them out, I take the generations behind them out. If I can take them out, their marriage falls, their family fails, their kids go the way of the world. Comes to exterminate, comes to extinguish. Another word for destroy in the Greek is to extinguish. Extinguish, I think of a fire extinguisher. The enemy comes to put out your fire. Isn't it crazy that some of the worst text or phone calls you get are right after church? Or right after your time with God? Because the enemy comes to extinguish the word, extinguish the flame, extinguish your faith. See, when I talk about Zoe life, I'm talking about living at a place where the enemy cannot destroy. If the enemy didn't build it, the enemy can't tear it down. If the enemy didn't give it, the enemy can't take it away. If the enemy didn't create it, why can he put his hands on it? He can't. We allow him to do it, but we've got to give him permission to ruin, to wreck, to exterminate, to extinguish. But here's the one that gets me. Destroy means to deface. When someone defaces something, the best illustration is graffiti. Someone who does not own something, someone who does not respect something, someone who has not sacrificed to build, to create, to do any of that, has no problem getting a $6 can of spray paint and spray painting a word, an image, profanity, and they deface property. What they do is they make it to be something that it was never designed to be. They make it look like something that it was never designed to look like. Remember this, church. God made us all in his image. God made us all in his image. That's why racism is one of the biggest lies from the pit of hell, because we are all made in the image of God. I don't care how white you are, you can be almost transparent like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I don't care how dark you are. I don't care what shade you are in between. All that is people complaining and people running their mouth and hating what color dirt God wrapped us in. Some of us were wrapped in sand. Some of us were wrapped in clay. And some of us were wrapped in dirt. But we were all wrapped in an earthly thing. But inside is what matters, because inside is where God has put a heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel. And in Genesis, the Bible says that God created us to look like him. And so when the enemy destroys, sometimes, just like I preached last week, it doesn't kill you. You're still breathing. You just don't look like God anymore. You're still living. You just don't sound like God anymore. You don't live to the purpose that God has created. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Remember, every time you hear life, it's either bio, suke, or zoe. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. There it is, the dirt. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That life in Genesis 2, from the very beginning of the word of God. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of zoe. It wasn't just That's bios. He breathed himself into us. That means every atheist still looks like God. That means every atheist still has a piece of divinity inside of him. There is a small piece of Zoe that lives in the measure of every man. It is still there, but the enemy has destroyed the atheist by defacing him, saying, you might look like God, but let's make sure you don't talk like God, act like God, or live up to his purpose. He steals, he kills, and he destroys, he exterminates, extinguishes, and he defaces. Put some of God's breath into your situation again, church. God breathe on us again should be a prayer that we add to our prayer life for the rest of our year. God breathe on me again. God, not a physical wind, but God breathe divinity back into me. Breathe heaven into me. Bring kingdom into me. Breathe all of those things, God, that you are, because the more of you I get in me, God, the less I have space for the world to contaminate. It's Zoe life. So what does abundant life look like? I'm glad you asked. We hear abundant life, and many times our mind goes to dollar signs, new houses, new cars, simply bigger and better. However, to define Zoe in abundance with stuff, or to tie Zoe in abundance to physical, it reduces God to a magician. It reduces God to a genie in a bottle or a glorified Santa Claus. It's about to get tight, but it's going to be right. When we relate physical things as the only benefit to abundant life or Zoe in abundance, it is likened to saying the only benefit of marriage is sex. And if the only reason you're getting married is to have sex, please don't get married. Because after that, you've got to live with that person. You've got to talk to that person. You've got to have meaningful conversations with that person. You've got to raise kids with that person. You've got to face the world with that person. You've got to do everything every day of your life with that person. And so to say the only reason I'm in relationship is for the physical is nonsense. And we would never, hopefully, ever do that on this earth. Well, then why do you only use God as a genie in a bottle? Heal me, God. Give to me, God. Bless me, God. Where's my promotion? I want that house. Why do they have that car and I don't have a car? God, give me this. God, give me this. God, give me this. When was the last time that you prayed a prayer that did not have a give me, but you had a give God? God, I give you praise. God, there's no one like you. I just wanted to spend some time today talking about how awesome you are, that when I was being stolen from, killed, and destroyed, you brought Zoe to me. You fixed my bios. You cured my suke, and God, Zoe has been brought to my life. It's got to be more than just stuff. It's got to be more than just, God, give me this. If the only time God hears from you is when you want something, he hears you every time, but I doubt you will ever get much from God. Because I know when I find out someone's a user, I cut them off as quick as I can. This is a two-way street. And you know what I love about God? It's a two-way street, and I don't even bring much to the table. But I still bring what I have. I bring the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. But you know one thing that I know God wants that I have that nothing else? I have worship. I have praise. I have serving. I have my life that I present to God, a sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is my reasonable service. God has done everything. The least we can do is bring him what we have because of Zoe that he gives us. When I think about the question, what does abundant life look like? What does Zoe in abundance look like? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like indescribable joy. 1 Peter 1:8, whom you have not seen, you love, in whom you though now you see him not, you believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You cannot put a price tag on joy. What Zoe looks like is an indescribable joy. I'm going through hell, but I still have joy. I'm going through storms, but I still have joy. I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I've got joy that is unspeakable. I can't even describe the joy I have. Well, let me tell you, happiness is overrated. Happiness depends on happenings, which means you're always going to have to be in the right place at the right time, and the right happening has to happen for you to be happy. But I'm here to tell you, I've been down, but I've still had my joy. I've been lost, but I've still had my joy. I didn't know which way was up, but I never lost my joy. I'm here to tell you, Zoe is not just cars in the parking lot. It's joy in your life. Joy. Unspeakable. They say money cannot buy happiness. That's a lie. I know a lot of people that money buys happiness. Money can buy you happiness, but money runs out. Happiness fades. The new feeling after you buy the Ferrari, it leaves. The new house, they keep raising your taxes, and you start second guessing that second or third year in. Whether that was the right decision. Happiness fades. Joy never fades. Because it doesn't come from man, and it doesn't come from this world. It comes straight from God. And the old song that I quoted a few weeks ago, this world didn't give me my joy, and if the world didn't give it, then the world cannot take it away. What does Zoe look like? It looks like peace that transcends understanding. Philippians 4:7 says this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. Brandon's translation would say it like this, peace that doesn't make sense. I don't know how you have this much peace. I don't know either. Welcome to the club. Well, you should be acting like, I know I should be. I just don't act like, I'm just not acting like that. I'm going to tell you one on me, y'all. And I think it's why God made me 5'7 and 3/4. And when you're 5'7, the 3/4 inch counts. I'm going to tell you why he made me 5'7 and 3/4. Because I don't like heights, y'all. Like when I say I don't like heights, like I don't like leaning out over that balcony and looking down. You know these big flyovers they're building in San Antonio? Ooh, I really don't like those. Like, we've been on family vacations, y'all, and I usually tell on the kids and Mandy, I'm going to tell one on myself. There's some of these bridges I've literally pulled over, gotten out of the driver's seat and said, somebody else is going to have to drive this. Lay my seat down, and I pray the whole way over. We got halfway up Apache Mountain in New Mexico. Snow's there. There's no guardrails. I'm thinking, listen, my brakes have never failed. What are the chances that they would fail on the side of a mountain? I don't know what those chances are, but those chances were really big in my brain. So, y'all, we got to go down right now, and I can't drive this. I was out here on the toll road, and I missed my exit. I was pulling a trailer full of horses, 36-foot trailer full of horses. Didn't know on that toll road that I was going to have to go over to one of those huge flyovers in my truck, in my trailer. Wind's blowing. I could not turn around, couldn't back up. I'm by myself. There's no one to drive. Thought about getting out and riding a horse away. I didn't. Y'all think my prayers are powerful here? You ain't never heard a powerful prayer like the ones I prayed that day. I quoted Psalm 23. I was singing Oceans. I was the Lord's Prayer. And I laugh about it. But how many times are we in situations just like that? More serious than that, that are bringing us anxiety and panic attacks and we're to the place where we want to give up. I don't want to do it. If that means I don't want to go if I got to go through that. And God says, listen, you can't do it on your own, but that's why I've given you abundant life. Quit thinking it's a new Mercedes. It is peace that does not make any sense. You know what a believer is capable of when you wake up in the morning, wipe the crust out your eyes, brush your teeth, put some deodorant on, and leave your house with a peace that doesn't make any sense? You are unstoppable. Zoe, indescribable joy, peace that transcends understanding. I love this because I never read this verse in this translation, the NLT, Romans 15, verse 13. This is the third thing that Zoe in abundance really means, overflowing hope. This year we're talking about keeping our hopes up, overflowing hope. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace. There it is again. Because you trust in him, then you will overflow with a confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know people. I literally know people. I've got family members. I know pastors that I literally have to preach them happy and joy-filled and faith-filled every time I talk to them, because they say things like this: I don't even know why we're trying anymore. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. I just don't see any way for us to make a difference. Oh, if your hope was in this world, I would say the same thing, but my hope is not in this world. My hope and my anchor is still Jesus Christ. He has never let me down, and he has never lost a battle. You watch CNN, my hope is not there. My hope is not in a political candidate or Fox News. My hope is in Jesus, and it's not just any hope. It is an overflowing, overwhelming hope. It is hope that I've never encountered before. It is so much hope that I can go to sleep saying tomorrow's going to be a better day. This month is going to be the month that everything changes. This day, this week is going to be the week the prodigals come home. This is the week of deliverance, transformation, healing, and overwhelming hope. Church, I'm trying to shift us. I'm trying to shift us. When we hear John 10 and 10, one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, the thief comes not to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life in abundance. To not just think of stuff, but think of the intangible spiritual things that Zoe means. An overflowing hope. Let's go one or two more. What does Zoe look like in real life? It looks like fresh mercy to me. That while I was sleeping last night, God was cooking up a fresh batch of mercy. Mercy is when I don't receive what I deserve. Oh, I've got a long laundry list of sin in my past, but it is under the blood of Jesus. And I don't have to worry about it because God has given me mercy. And if I ever run out of mercy, it's okay, because every day I wake up and my pantry is full of fresh mercy. Every once in a while I go to Texas Roadhouse, the worst steaks in San Antonio, worst salads in San Antonio, best bread in all of Texas. But I found something out the other day. Me and Tyler went, had a great wait staff, and she sent us home with about 6 or 8 of those rolls apiece. Never had anyone do that. I felt like I was living in the Zoe life, Brother Sean. The abundance had found me. Mandy and the girls were on Jaden's trip, and so the next morning I got up, reached into that bag, and it was like finding a rock. The bread that I love was no longer fresh. Some of us are living on day old stuff, week old stuff. Some of us, year old relationships. God's saying, man, I got something fresh for you, but you keep regurgitating that old thing back over and over again. I can't work in the old. I am wanting to give you something brand new.